Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus' mock trial, conviction, and crucifixion contain challenging lessons for every follower of Jesus. Not only did Jesus say, "It is finished," as he was dying on the cross, he also said, "Follow me," earlier in his ministry. What are you willing to endure for the cause of Christ? Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 14 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 43-72.
I want you to take note, beloved, that with Jesus' declaration that he was the Christ, he was the I Am, he is the Son of the Blessed, he is the one who is coming again in the clouds of glory, the people that were there, nobody here, can ever say that Jesus never told us clearly who he was. And so the high priest tore off his clothes, and they said, "What need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all, including Saul, condemned him to be guilty of death. According to Leviticus chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, the penalty for blasphemy was death by stoning. But Psalm 22 on Isaiah 53 prophesied that Jesus would be crucified. So why was he crucified instead of stoned? Because God's word will come to pass. And so some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And here we see the filthy creature spitting and hitting the sinless creator, and he does nothing to resist them. He already told them, "I can call my Father, and he'll send 12 legions of angels, and you guys will be dust in a New York second." Charles Spurgeon wrote to those called into ministry these words, quote, "Who are you, dear sir? Who are you? What can you be if compared with Christ? If they spat upon him, why should they not spit upon you? If they buffeted him, why should they not buffet you? Shall your master have all the rough of it? Shall he have all the bitter and you all the sweet? A pretty soldier you are to demand a better fare than your creator." Jesus said, "Follow me." Luke 6:29, "Unto him that smites thee on one cheek, offer the other also." That's what Jesus taught. Did he do it? Every single thing Jesus commanded us to do, he did himself. John Corson again wrote these words, "There was no inconsistency whatsoever between what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Jesus not only turned his cheek, but he also gave his entire body to die for the very men who beat him." Did you ever read the account of Corrie ten Boom, Jim Elliot's wife, who would actually embrace and share the gospel with the very people that murdered Corrie ten Boom's sister, Jim Elliot's wife? Her husband was murdered. She went and back and witnessed to those Indian tribal people, and many of them came to Christ. Guys, you can't fake that. Regeneration doesn't give birth to fakers. And so now, Peter, he was in the palace, and there come one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and saith, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what you say." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. One commentator said this: this denial of Peter was not at the threat of armed soldiers, but by the remark made by a little maid. Kind of reminds us of Elijah, right? Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal and all of them, right? There was like a total of about 850 or something like that, wasn't it? He just, in the boldness of God, he challenges them. And then remember, the word gets back to Jezebel. what he did. And Jezebel says, if I find that guy, by tomorrow he's going to be toast. He stands up to 850 false prophets. One woman says, boo, and he runs. Ladies, you have no idea how powerful you are. He denied, I don't know him. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech agrees thereto. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time, the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. The Bible says he wept bitterly. Peter's first denial was in court, where he was questioned by one of the female maids. Woman, he says, I know him not. The second denial was in the porch or the vestibule where Peter had retired after being questioned the first time. And when he was asked, are you one of them? He said, I know him not. According to Luke's account, the third denial took place about an hour later, Luke 22, 59 through 62, where the Bible says Jesus looked at Peter. Can you imagine? The eye-to-eye contact. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is looking at Peter with tears coming down his cheek. Because he knew that right at that point in time, Satan is going to try to sift him like wheat. He knew it. Now, when it says Peter remembered the words that Jesus said, he only remembered the words that he would deny him. And he knew, Jesus knew. And I believe that in that look was the look of Peter. Peter, I love you. Peter, remember what I'm saying. You know, there's sometimes you can just get so much from a person's facial expressions. That's one of the things I don't like about emails. You don't get emotion. You don't get feeling. You don't see the passion. You don't get to hear a person's heart. It's just words. The cock crows. Jesus makes eye contact with Peter. It wasn't, I told you so, you loser. Now, that's what a Pharisee would have told Peter. That's what a holier-than-thou kind of a person would tell Peter. In reality, what's happening here is something that we all deal with. He's dealing with the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Has anybody never feared man here? Never? He gave in to the fear of man. And Adam Clark wrote this, yet all this evil sprung from the fear of man. How many denials of Christ and his truth have sprung since from the same cause? Where we know we could have said something and we didn't. Now, God forgives us, but here's the thing. Just like the Lord knew all about Peter, he knows all about you. He knows all about me. And still, he not only loved me, loves me. Really loves me. He, 1 Corinthians 13's me to the T. There is no doubt in my mind that the enemy is going to start pounding Peter's thoughts and heart. And I think, going back to a moment, to Saul, sitting and watching all of this, how powerful is the blood of Christ? How powerful is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because Paul would say when he was preaching, I have wronged no man. He tosses in his hat to say, yes, crucify him. He's seen Stephen be martyred. How could he say that? How could he preach with such confidence, with blood on his hands and guilt and everything? You know why? Because of the power that there is in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's wiped out. You know that? You know that? I mean, really, not here. Here, it's wiped out. It is done. Your sins have been forgiven. All of them. Not some of them. That's grace. And then here's Peter. Oy vey, Peter. I mean, he's still going to be struggling up to Acts chapter 10 to deal with issues. Oh, my. No doubt Peter, possibly, this is just conjecture, so you know what to do with that. He probably thought, that's it. I'm done. As far as he knew, that's the last I'm ever going to see of Jesus. And that's probably the last that he will ever want to have anything to do with me. But after the resurrection, Peter and the other boys, the disciples, go into hiding. And in Luke 24, 34, we read, "The Lord is risen indeed," listen to this, "and has appeared to Simon." Can you imagine? Face to face for the first time. Jesus, Simon, can you imagine? What do you think was going through Peter's mind? He's probably thinking, oh no, this is it. Curtains. Done. Final chapter. Close the book. I'm going to go from apostle to applesauce with one word. He appears to Simon. Evidently, there's some time between that account in Luke and John 21 between that appearance. Now, wouldn't you think that that would just settle the score? That's it. I've seen him. It's over. Well, there's a little bit of time, because remember, there was a 40-day period when Jesus was on earth after he rose from the dead. And then Peter says, you know, I'm going to go fishing. And so the other men went fishing with him. Now, why Peter would want to go fishing is beyond me. How many fish did Peter ever catch in the Gospels? None. But I'll give it one more try. I'm going to go back to fishing. So he's fishing. And then on the shore, there's someone broiling fish. And who that someone? He says, hey, boys, did you catch anything? Remember? Did you catch anything? Nope. Look on the right side. And they catch, about, I think it says 153 fish. And someone says, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. So there they are, standing around the fire. Where did Peter deny the Lord? Around a fire. How many times did he deny him? Three times. They're dining. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And the commentators have a field day with more than these, what they mean. The fish, the apostles, I don't know. He says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus didn't say, no, you don't. If you did, you would have never done some of the stupid things that you did. Now, that's what a self-righteous Christian will do. No, you don't love him. If you loved him, you would never fail. You would never mess up. You would never make a mistake. Nah. Yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus didn't say, no, you don't. He said, feed my lambs. What? Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Saints, never listen to anybody who doesn't love Jesus Christ. Here was Peter's call into the ministry. Theology is important. Did he ask him any theological question? Did Jesus know when he was getting? Peter, do you love me? You know, when young men from time to time come to me and say, you know, Pastor Ray, I'd like to be in the ministry. Okay, I want to ask you one question. I don't care how many passages of Scripture you can quote. Do you love Jesus Christ more than anything and more than yourself? Peter, do you love me? Yes. He says, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And then, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where you would not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, if I were Peter at this point in time, go, wait a minute. You're telling me that if I feed your sheep, it's going to cost me my life? Yeah. I think maybe I'll start a bakery. You know, when people think of ministry, they think of a cushy chair, air-conditioned office, this kind of like sterile place where you're dealing with people that don't have any problems and any issues, and you come from the perfect family. No. You know what that is? That's Disneyland. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you realize this might cost you, this is going to cost you your life? Yes, Lord. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say to a group of elders, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know what this world needs today, beloved? With all of the nonsense that is going on, they need you and I to be real followers of Jesus, giving them the truth. They want to lure you and me into all kinds of conversations. And I'm telling you, I get emails, why don't you preach about this issue? Why don't you preach about that issue? Why don't you preach about this or that? You know what? I am called by God to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador of heaven, and I am here, and this pulpit is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every issue that we are dealing with is a heart issue, is a sin issue, and there's only one solution to the problem of sin, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. You want murder out of your heart? You want race out of your heart? You want disease out of your heart? You want all of that stuff out of your heart? Trust Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Now, point two. I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to offer myself to be the first example. How many of you have ever failed the Lord? How many of you have ever failed the Lord miserably? How many more questions do you want me to ask you? If your wife told me everything about you and next week I was given her permission to tell everyone else, how many of you would not be here next week? If your husband told me everything about you and I was given his permission to tell you, to tell everybody about you next week, how many of you ladies would be here? If you young people were to tell me about your dad or your mom or vice, how many of you, this place would be a ghost town. Why am I saying that? I'm saying it because Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, He's also the great restorer of souls. And if you, like Peter, have come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart, He will not only forgive you, He will restore you to a place of use in the kingdom of God. And you know what else He'll do? He will remove the guilt and the condemnation. He will give you the basis, because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And like Paul, you will be able to say, I have wronged no man. Knowing what you know about Peter's flaws, every flaw that Peter made. Now imagine being on earth at the time of the apostles. I thought of this morning. You know everything about Peter. He rebukes Jesus. How about that? And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, right? He did a lot of horrible things. He denies the Lord three times. Now, can you imagine if there was such a thing as a tract on earth? Can you imagine? And Peter comes up to you. You know all about him. Go, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, He'll give you a new heart. He will give you a new life. You will be a new creature. He will forgive you. You denier? What are you talking about? What gives you the authority to say what you're saying? The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all sin. How many times when you witness to somebody or shared with somebody, does the enemy say, you hypocrite, in your head? How many times? Who are you to tell them? I can't tell you how many times I'm up here and it's like World War IV. Thank you for praying. But you know what? He is the great restorer. If a man be overtaken with a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We are to be in the business of restoration, aren't we? There was a bishop by the name of Usher. Listen to this now, carefully. If you have anything less than regeneration, believe me, you can never see heaven. There is no hope of heaven until then, until you are born again. If you're not a born again, by grace, through faith in the full, complete, sacrificial work of Jesus Christ's death on the cross, burial and resurrection from the dead on the third day, the Bible says you will die in your sins, you will not go to heaven, you will be separated from God forever and ever. Remember when Jesus went into the garden, he starts praying so intensely, and he says, Father, if there's any other way to save them, any other way that a person, a human being, a wretched human being like me, can be forgiven of my sins and have assurance of heaven and have assurance of a relationship with God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know why Jesus drank the cup? Because there is no other way for a human being to be saved. No other way for a human being to be saved. Your goodness, my friend, cannot save you. You keeping church rituals or traditions cannot save you. Your infant or adult baptism cannot save you. You taking communion cannot save you. Only faith in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ can save you. Jesus says, you come unto me. The gospel is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's not accept this whole thing. If you will just accept Jesus as if he's in heaven, would you please accept me? Please, 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 please. I'm just starving for... Repent and believe. And the Lord who knows everything about you, the good, which is very little, the bad, the ugly, the real bad, and the real ugly. He says, you come to me with a broken and a contrite heart. Believe me, I will forgive you. I will give you a new heart. I will write your name down in my book. Praise God. If you'll trust him today, he will forgive you. He will give you a new life. He will give you a new heart. He will bring you into a relationship with God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a relational thing. It's not a form of godliness. It's not rituals. It's not what we do and what we don't do. It's a relational thing. And to be brought into fellowship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, if you will turn to him this morning, he'll forgive you. Believe that? He will. So many lessons in God's word. But think of it this week as you go about your week. Think of the words, follow me. You're in some kind of a situation, whatever. Just follow me. I can't stop thinking those words. Follow me. From the most mundane to the most intense. Follow me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.